Welcome back, everybody, to the CBMW podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Swan, the executive editor of Icon, a journal for biblical anthropology, joined by Colin Smothers, who is the executive director of CBMW, and Denny Burke, who is the president of CBMW. It's great to see you guys, to have us all back this week. Hey, I need your guys' help. I'm really struggling. I found out some disturbing news. Aslan, my favorite lion, has apparently gone through hormone treatments, possibly a sex change operation, and now as possibly identifying, I don't know, as Aslana, something like that. Can you guys help me out here?
Sure, we can fill you in, but I just want to say that my favorite lion is Lambert the Sheepish Lion, who of Disney fame, who also I think is a bit of a Christ figure.
Look at that.
Who comes in and who protects the flock from a wolf. But I digress. We are not talking about that lion. We are talking about Aslan. Yeah,
we're talking about my favorite lion, not yours today, Denny.
That's correct. So there is some very sad news. I say sad because, man, this source material is so rich and beloved by so many. Everybody loves Narnia, and it's something that you usually come into contact with as a kid. And the news came out last week that Netflix is producing, a new version, a live action Narnia version movie, and Greta Gerwig is directing, and she is apparently is in talks with Meryl Streep to play that part. Now, the reports that I've seen are that they're in talks, like the contracts haven't been signed yet. So I don't even know that this is a done deal. I still think it's worth our talking about because it's Greta Gerwig, and we know what her frame of reference is because of the Barbie movie and the other movies she's made, but especially the Barbie movie. She has a very keen feminist interest, and that apparently is a part of this decision to have a female play the voice of Aslan, who, as we know from the story, is a male lion.
You know, it's a major downgrade. The former cinemized versions of Narnia, at least the ones that we all kind of grew up watching, was voiced by Liam Neeson. Can you imagine going from Liam Neeson Aslan to Meryl Streep? I mean, unbelievable. And I think there's two angles here. Number one, the inner coherence of the Narnia world, how there are so many contradictions if you make Aslan a female or some kind of like intersex lion or non-gendered or something. I mean, for crying out loud, he has a mane. And the one of the apex moments of the first book, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, is for the White Witch to shave the mane of Aslan in order to shame him before he sacrificed on the stone table. I mean, what's going on here is Greta Gerwig, if this is true, is shaving the mane of Aslan. She is actually casting her own self in the role of the White Witch in the casting. That's unbelievable to me. And then there's the bigger picture, and I think we'll get into this, of what this does to the imagery and the metaphor that C.S. Lewis was after to begin with, which is why he chose to cast his Christ figure as a lion, the Lion of Judah, representing Christ. So those two angles, I think it's unbelievably incoherent on both fronts.
Yeah, with this common recognition that Aslan is a Christ figure. So thinking just theologically about the ideas presented in the book, why is it problematic for there to be a female Christ figure?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's an accident that Gerwig is doing this. I think she is trying to make not just a social statement, but probably a theological statement, because you can't ignore the context, right? So the context is she is very well known as someone who likes to put a feminist spin on stories. I mean, if you saw the Barbie movie, it opened up with little girls. I think it was supposed to be a joke, but these little girls were crashing their baby dolls. They wanted to get rid of these baby dolls and to take on this new, you know, to be free. They're basically, you know, wallowing around in squalor with their baby dolls until they broke them. And then they broke into this beautiful Barbie world where the women ruled and all of this. It was a very feminist spin. So it's very hard to look at this move out of that light that Greta Gerwig has a feminist point of view that she's trying to bring to this story. So that's one area of context that's important. But the other area of context that's important is the fact that if anybody, anyone who's been reading theology over the last, I don't know, 50, 60 years understands that there's been a huge feminist influx into biblical and theological scholarship. And, you know, a lot of the feminists, both secular and religious, have specifically chafed against the maleness of God. You know, it was Mary Daly, what, back in the 70s, who famously said, if God is male, then male is God. And you've seen this entire stream of religious scholarship, feminist scholar, religious scholarship, trying to redefine God so that he's no longer portrayed in masculine terms. And so they chafe against, you know, things as central as the Trinitarian naming of the divine essence as Father and Son, because those are masculine terms, right? And so feminist theology has been trying to push and push and push against the tradition for a long time. And so you'll, that's why among many feminists, feminist theologians, you hear them wanting to refer to God as mother or as she, and to basically gender bend the Godhead. So it's really impossible. If you know the story of Chronicles of Narnia and that Aslan is representing Christ, it's impossible not to see it within that context of someone who is a feminist and who looks to be pushing a feminist conception of God onto this story.
So what would you guys say then to people who would say, well, you're blowing this out of proportion. We're talking about children's books here. What's the big deal? Why are you so upset about this?
Well, number one, you know, if you're going to adapt a story from a well-known, beloved author, one of the most popular children's series, you know, that's ever been written, and particularly from a Christian context, a Christian worldview, if you're going to take on that project, why would one of the first things you do is come at the main character, one of the main reasons, in some ways, Lewis writes this book, this series of books, in order to sort of teach children about the Christian story. If you're going to take that source material and then you're going to totally ignore, and not only ignore, but subvert the context that this is being written from, that takes a lot of gall. And I think that that in itself reflects a non-reverential spirit with which Greta Gerwig is taking on this project. I don't think that if this is really true, that she's going to cast Meryl Streep as Aslan, that she has any concern at all or any care for Lewis's original intent for these books. And speaking of Lewis, what's fascinating and even ironic about this news, you know, back in the beginning of the 20th century, there was a move within the Anglican context to push for female ordination to the priesthood. This was something that he actually opposed himself. I've referenced this before. He wrote an essay called Priestesses in the Church, in which one of his main arguments for opposing women's ordination to the priesthood in the Anglican context is what it would do to the church's vision of God. And what I want to do is read this paragraph from Lewis, because it's really, again, ironic that this is what we have: Greta Gerwig taking on his beloved character Aslan, who in the books, you know, he says to the children who meet him, you know, in your world, I'm known by another name. He doesn't say Jesus outright, but he's definitely alluding. He's saying, I'm representing Jesus in Narnia, and Jesus in your world, it goes by the name Jesus. But listen to what Lewis says in this essay. He says, suppose the reformer stops saying that a good woman may be like God and begins saying that God is like a good woman. Suppose he says that we might just as well pray to our mother, which art in heaven, as to our father. Suppose he suggests that the incarnation might just as well have taken a female as a male form, and the second person of the Trinity be as well called the daughter as the son. Suppose finally that the mystical marriage were reversed and the church were the bridegroom and Christ the bride. All this, as it seems to me, is involved in the claim that a woman can represent God as a priest does. Now here's the kicker. He goes on to say, now it is surely the case that if all these supposals were ever carried into effect, we should be embarked on a different religion. Hmm. In other words, if you pursue that, you aren't talking about Christianity anymore. And I think that's what's obvious here. Greta Gerwig is not pursuing a Christian film, a Christian worldview, because she's not a Christian. And this is coming out in the way that she is going to be making these casting decisions.
Yeah. And, you know, when you ask the question, why would this be important? It's important, and it's something I think that we should take note of, because the stories we tell shape worldview. It shapes imaginations. And these stories were created by Lewis to shape the imaginations of children, especially. And she's trying to subvert that. She's trying to retell the story so that the central character, Aslan, is something totally different. And so that's what's key about this. And so even within, you know, some people would say, well, the fact that, you know, Jesus was male is just incidental. And, you know, he could have come as a female. Incarnation could have happened with a female just as well as with a male. That's actually not the case. The Bible teaches, well, first of all, you've got the Godhead who's revealed in masculine terms, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is neutral, but Father and Son are both masculine, right? And Father properly names the essence of the first person of the Trinity, and Son properly names the second person of the Trinity. These aren't metaphors. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3 says in verses 14 and 15, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every fatherhood in heaven and on earth derives its name. So you can't think of Father as a metaphor for God. Father properly names the divine essence. And then our fatherhoods are derived from that. Okay. So it's a proper name of the divine essence, and it's the same thing with the second person of the Trinity with the Son terminology. So there's the masculine language in the Godhead, but then there's just the promise language from the Old Testament into the New Testament about who this promised seed of the woman would be, who would come and rescue God's people and destroy the works of the devil. You've got this promise way back in Genesis 3:16 that there's this seed, this offspring of the woman, who is going to come and crush the head of the serpent. And so there's this big question throughout the biblical storyline, who's this going to be? And as the promise gets further particularized, you find out that this person is going to be a prophet. He's going to be a priest. He's going to be a king. And in Israel's economy, the priests and the kings, guess what? They were all male. They had to be male, such that in 2 Samuel 7, God makes a promise through Nathan to David. He prophesies. He says, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. So that this promised seed is going to be a son of David, not a daughter of David. So within the economy of redemption, you see that there's this particular maleness that's being expected, that's being built up for the expected Messiah who was to come. Now, you trace that all the way to connect this to Narnia. Narnia is picking a lion as the main character because of the language of Genesis. You know, at the end of Genesis, Jacob blesses all of his sons. And he says to his fourth son, Judah, that Judah is a lion's whelp. And then he says, and the scepter will not depart from Judah, meaning that Judah is the kingly tribe, and the patriarch over that tribe is a male, Judah. And there's going to be a king who comes from that tribe, who sits on the throne of Israel, who's going to rule over not only Israel, but over all of the earth. And so all I'm trying to say is that this is not an accident that Jesus was born from a woman as a male. Okay. It was a part of the, you know, promise of God that this is what the Messiah would be. And so she is, you know, what Colin said there, I hadn't even thought about that connection about shaving the mane. She is shaving the mane of the Messiah of the story. And she's retelling the story because she wants to subvert the worldview represented by this story. And so that's what's so problematic about this.
And this isn't just happening on the silver screen, as it were. You know, evangelical so-called theologians are doing the same kind of baits and switches. I mean, I'm thinking of, for instance, Amy Peeler's book, Women and the Gender of God, where in her book, she's actually saying she's looking at the sexed nature of Jesus, and she's trying to figure out how he can represent women. So she speculates maybe she has a feminized nature from, you know, inherited from Mary. And then at one point, she's even saying that, you know, some speculations around whether or not Jesus was intersex from particular gender radicals. She says that's a fruitful speculation in this book. And so, again, this isn't just Greta Gerwig kind of originating this, you know, as it were, from her own mind. She is being pushed this way in some ways by people within our own context. And we need to be aware of this. We need to be able to say with the Bible, no, Jesus was a male. Jesus is a male because he is the Son of God. No qualifications.
I was going to say, we have an excellent essay on this in Icon by Michael Carlino and Kyle Klonch. A really long essay in the last issue that's pretty comprehensive, but we have a shorter one coming out in the spring issue. So we would ask people to check that out. You know, this whole move toward a female Aslan, I sort of put it in the bucket of the modern anti-Western cultural iconoclasm, right? We're just tearing down the monuments and the symbols of Western culture, particularly those that are Christian in nature. Well, guys, thank you so much for this discussion. Until next time, everybody, check out more about the ministry of CBMW at cbmw.org.